Hey, thanks so much for sparing us your time today, given all the different events that are on, so thank you so much. My name is Reese Riley. I host a YouTube podcast called Kiwi Talks, but given how much time I seem to be spending in Australia, I might have to just move here and call it Aussie Talks. But it's a huge pleasure to be here. I interview game developers, and I've spoken to a number from various studios such as Nintendo, Bethesda, Rockstar, Valve, and Sony, which of course leads me to the person to my left, who is a music designer at PlayStation Studios Creative Arts. And she's a bit of a big deal, all right? I'm just going to go through a few of the games that she's worked on. She's probably feeling a little bit awkward right now.
100%, yeah.
So God of War Ragnarok. Yeah, you can clap. Come on. Ghost of Tsushima. Last of Us Part 2. Spider-Man 2. I'm going to stop there because we'll be here forever. But I'd like to welcome Sonia Coronado. Give her a round of applause.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you all.
Yeah. So Sonia's actually flown all the way from the East Coast of America. I don't know if you've done that flight, but it's an absolute mission. So kudos for being here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I barely survived. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
A little jet lagged?
Yeah. Yeah. Comes and goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing some Redbourne coffee won't fix.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So time is of the essence with these things. So I thought we better get into it. So the most obvious question and the most cliche question ever is, how did you get into the video game industry?
Yeah, so I did not plan on that, like, at all. I actually came to the U.S. To pursue my bachelor's degree in something called film scoring, Berklee College of Music. Maybe you've heard of that school. And yeah, I had no idea that, like, you know, people could actually do music for games. You know, I played a lot of games as a kid, you know, big Nintendo fan, actually. Sorry, PlayStation. But yeah, it just never occurred to me that actually there were, like, people, you know, behind the scenes putting music in games. So, after graduating from college, I went to USC and I really, like, got specifically into games and making music for games. It's actually how I met my husband, who's somewhere over there. At one point, directly to him.
Raise your hand,
he'll
buddy.
Get embarrassed.
Come on. There he
there
is.
There he is.
There he is.
But yeah, essentially, out of school, I got this really cool opportunity to be an intern at PlayStation. And when I was doing this interview, my boss, my current boss, was like, "This is not a composition gig." And I was like, "Okay, cool. I understand." He was like, "Okay, seriously, this is not a composition gig." I'm like, "Okay, got it." And then he, like, repeated one more time. So apparently it's something that I'm sure we'll get into about, like, yeah, what a music designer does, if not composition. But, yeah, very composition background. And since that internship, I've just stayed because it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, that is a pretty good segue as to what does a music designer do? Because everyone knows what a music composer does. Yeah. But what does a music designer do?
Yeah, I feel like music designer specifically is a term that I've started to hear more recently. When I started, my title was actually music editor. So what I was doing is, we don't actually have any in-house composition at PlayStation. We work with external composers. So for God of War Ragnarok, for example, it was Bear McCreary. So what we do is he composes about like 3 to 4 hours of music. And we take all of those stems, so like all the divided parts on each of the keys, so like the percussion parts, the string parts, the choir parts, the brass parts, and we essentially rearrange all of that to fit the whole game. So we make like 4 hours of score, like last, you know, 50 plus hours of game. Mm. And that was one part of my job, actually. The other part is actually putting it into the game. So a lot of like middleware implementations, so maybe, you know, Wise, FMod, that kind of thing. And then actually like getting into the game engine and implementing it directly over there. So it became more of like just from editorial or like rearranging essentially to an all-encompassing job. And that's why I think like that term has developed to music design. It's not just editorial.
Yeah, and I suppose with stems as well, when we talk about percussion, each particular percussion instrument is its own stem, right?
Right, yeah.
So you'd have a snare on one line, kick on another, and maybe even with choirs, you'd have multiple vocal lines.
Yeah, and we can get really deep too. Like a lot of recording sessions that we do, we actually like split up like the melody, like for example, or like the short strings compared to like the longs. So that way we have like a lot of detail in what we can do.
Hmm. Sounds daunting.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. It can be a lot, but it can be a lot of fun. You know, I feel like when you have that level of granularity in each of the cues, you can actually do a lot with it. Like, you know, for Ragnarok, for example, we had, I think it was like 109 cinematics. I want to say like bare custom score, maybe like 10 of those. So like, you know,
jeez.
What do you do when you're having to like do like another 100 if you don't have that level of control over the stems?
So how do you approach it then? Because obviously you've got 108 stems or whatever it is, and obviously you've got to arrange it however you need to arrange it. Are you able to just get an idea straight away and be like, okay, I know how I'm going to do this? Or is it like, oh my God, I need to take 5 minutes and work out how I'm going to approach this task?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on what we're doing. It's like, if we're talking about a cutscene specifically, just kind of like write what are the important beats of the scene, right? So we're just like, okay, here's like the emotional part, and it's really focusing on Kratos. And like, then we go into like a little bit of an action part, and then we go a little bit into like, you know, this more like suspense, tense part. So I kind of like know what's like the flow of like the music, what it's intended to do. And hopefully at that point, I've like listened to this cue so many times, I kind of like know where to find those pieces. So I think it's like starting like kind of macro of like, this is roughly like the idea that we want to do. And then we go into the stems and it's like, okay, we actually, in this action part, we don't need everything. We actually only need like the low strings, kind of like doing that rhythmic ostinato and a little bit of perk, but we don't actually need that like big brass in your face in that part of the scene. So, yeah.
What about in the instances where you could have something that could potentially be music or could potentially be sound design, right? Because sometimes music and sound design can kind of blur.
Yeah.
So when do you decide, and I suppose in the instances where music and sound effect blur, are you working with it? Are the sound design team working with it? Is it a collaboration of both? How does it work?
Yeah, no, definitely a collaboration. Like as soon as like I know, or like they know, they might have the discovery, the sound team of like, yeah, this is actually kind of like a musical sound effect moment. Like we immediately like, you know, collaborate with each other. It's just like, oh, who in the sound team is actually working on that? Or like they will go, who in the music team is actually working on that part? Like actually like in God of War Ragnarok in the triptychs, like, you know, you go into this like very like magical, ethereal looking thing, and the ambience person working in the game, Alex Brevity, he actually did a lot of like very tonal, magical sounds for that area, which sounded awesome and it was great. And it was super conflicting with like the music that was going on, that was like changing keys all the time, and it wasn't like really able to like mix well. So like we immediately talked to each other, and it's just like, how do we sort this out? So we get those tonal elements and we also get the music shining. And we did a lot of like mixing goodness to like make that happen and adapting some stuff as well.
How much does the music composer, how much are they involved? Because like composers, it's their art, right? So I feel like sometimes they'd want ownership of it. So are they happy with you taking it and mixing it, or do they want to have more involvement, or is it a case-by-case basis?
Yeah, I really hope they're happy at this point. Yeah, but yeah, I think there's like a level of trust to be had. Like, these are not composers that we're working on like for the first time, so they know like we are gonna be like using those stems, and like, you know, they're super involved in the recording process and definitely know how we're striping things. But I think like there's also like a language that develops of like, hey, this are the themes, you know, this is the theme for this character, like the music that we use for this certain moments. And like, I feel like as music designers, we kind of have to like pick up on like that style that composer is doing. So whenever we're like editing and changing things, like it is true to what they would have done, you know, if they were scoring the whole thing. It's not just like my own interpretation of Sonya, like this is what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you reach out to them ever, call them on the phone, be like, hey, Bear, hey, are you okay with this? Got any ideas? Or is it just like, nah, you do your thing?
Well, I can't confirm or deny that, unfortunately. But I mean, I think like as we work like together more and more often, I think like we are able to like communicate a bit better too about like, you know, some of the earlier games were maybe just about like, let's just get this out the door because we need to finish it.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like now with that evolving collaboration, then like we get to talk a little bit more about like those things.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, one of the interesting things I found out about you is because obviously you work for PlayStation Studios Creative Arts, right?
Yeah.
And I had no idea about the studio.
Yeah,
it's almost like it was Area 51 or something, like hidden off. but what is your actual involvement? Because say with Ghost of Tsushima, that was made by Sucker Punch. Last of Us Part 2 is made by Naughty Dog. Obviously, these are all different studios, and yet you're working in conjunction with all of them. So
yeah.
How does PlayStation Studios Creative Arts actually work?
Yeah, so we're actually like a service group that specifically for our music team, we work with all the first party studios to provide music services for each of the teams. So that's why I've been able to like work in all these different games. And I think like music it's a little bit more interesting than sound because for example, sound also has a team like this because teams usually don't have like their own music team. They'll have an audio director, they might have a sound design team, maybe they have like a dialogue team. But music is like one of those like rare things that like they don't usually have like staff for that. So we just kind of like integrate, like some of our team will integrate into like their projects. So like for Ghost of Tsushima, it was like me and like maybe like five other people that were working in the music team for Sucker Punch. Last of Us was a little bit of a bigger team and so on.
So are you there at the genesis of development though, or does that come along later? You guys kind of get involved?
It's a bit of a slow burn. Usually the score producers are the ones that are earlier on to kind of like help with that integration of like, I mean, who's going to be the composer in the first place, like in the project? It seems like a pretty important decision to figure out early on. So I feel like it just kind of trickles down. So like first, like, okay, let's decide on the composer, the style, like what's the direction we're going to actually be doing for that this music score. Then after that's decided, then it's a little bit of like composition. It's like not all 3 hours of the score are composed like right at the beginning, because I mean sometimes there's not really much of a game to like score at that point. There's just more of like an idea or like an idea of a story that is still developing. So yeah, there's like the composition part, then you know it kind of like slows down a little bit, then it's just like, okay, let's figure out some systems or like the systems that the games are going to be going through and how can music support those systems. So there's a little bit more prototyping. That's usually when music design gets more involved, to like work with the composer and the game developer. So like, what does the, you know, music system need to respond to? And then of course there's just like finishing the game, which, you know, feels like a big race. I feel like where most of the work actually happens.
Yeah. And are you working on one game at a time, or are you working on multiple games at the same time?
It really depends on like what capacity I'm in. Like earlier on, when I started, I was like supporting a bunch of different games because I was mainly just, you know, doing like the actual music design work, like, you know, the edit implementation and so forth. Like as I've gotten more into like leadership roles, like on Ragnarok, you know, I was like the music lead on that one. I couldn't really like divide my attention as much.
Yeah, because I would think if you're working on multiple projects at the same time, you'd lose track of what you're working on. You'd need like a spreadsheet to analyze and remember where you were.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, wait, what game was I working on last week? Where was I up to?
Oh, yeah. My time cards were a nightmare when I was like working like 3 or 4 games. I had to like, you know, be like 2 hours, you know, this one, you know, 1 hour, this one.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
So how do the actual interactive systems that you utilize work in terms of how you use them?
Yeah, it's a very big question.
We got time. Do we have time? Yes, we do have time.
It just really depends on like what game I'm working on and like what kind of things does the game need. So for example, if you take Ghost of Tsushima, like it's a game that, you know, at its core, when you're like looking at the gameplay loop, there's a lot of combat, but there's a lot of like stealth as well. So we're immediately like, okay, so we need to like be able to like respond to like both of those like big mechanics. So like for that system, we devised a system that was had some stealth music. It also had some stingers actually when like, you know, like silently like assassinated some of this enemies. Then we had like an alarm state that was more about like, oh, you know, the enemies know that you're around, but they haven't found you. And then we had like this easy and hard level of combat because it felt different to like fight a lot of enemies or a small group of enemies. And it's not like, you know, we saw that game and we're just like, that's it, you know, that 3-level system with the 2 intensities of combat. Like it was like an evolving process of like what actually worked and what didn't. So, I mean, there was like a whole dedicated part of our team just focusing on like really like nailing like what are those levels supposed to be and like how that system should work. I mean, for Ragnarok, like we didn't need to worry about stealth, right? Like Kratos is not sneaking around, like, you know, silently assassinating some people. He's very loud and proud about that.
Yeah.
So we devised more of like, okay, it just feels different, you know, killing a troll versus like, you know, killing like a very little animal on the floor. So I think like that's how we look at it. It's just like, what does the game need? Like, what's the biggest like need for the game in terms of like gameplay loop? What are the things that we're gonna be keep running into? And that's what we make like a big music system of.
Do you have a particular part of the game you like to work on, like say a combat scene or a cinematic scene or a stealth scene?
Yeah, I would say I personally have the most fun just figuring out like big systems and kind of figuring out what the game needs. And that's like a mix of like everything that you said. I feel like personally, cutscenes, as fun as they are, like I don't know. It's not where I find like the most challenge, because in the end, a cutscene is linear. It's probably the closest thing we really have to a film.
Yeah.
And I think like my love and passion for games is like, how are all the players gonna play this? You know, how long is this one player gonna take to like run through this part that is technically 30 seconds, but like, what if they linger there for 30 minutes because they just like, you know, decided to stop there and go get a snack? You know, what is the music gonna do?
Yeah.
Is it gonna run out? Are we gonna encourage that like people just linger there? Or, you know, what do we do with that? So I just love thinking about all like the interactive parts of what music can do.
That's a good point you make about, like, say, for example, combat systems, right? There can be so many different ways that the player attacks that problem, right? So the implementation has to be so different, so many different ways they can go about it. What, do you know offhand what was the maximum amount, like, say, for a combat scene you had to do in terms of how it functions or how many different ways the edit or design can be?
Yeah, well, I think it's, like, how we usually do it is... we consider like all aspects of it, and what we really spend a lot of time on is like how we transition in between them, and is it gonna sound good every time? You know, if you're going from this giant encounter to like this one small encounter, is the music system gonna respond with the right transition and with the right amount of fade, or that it's not gonna be super like, you know, audible to the players? So, but I think you do bring a good point about like different like playing styles. Like I myself, I'm actually pretty bad at games. So, you know, when I'm testing the systems, like I'm just like, oh, this sounds great. And then like QA, like, you know, runs through this like one part of the level that took me like 20 minutes and you're just like 1 minute done. And I'm just like, God damn. All right, well, there goes that music system. Good thing I spent, you know, 30 minutes building that.
Yeah, and I suppose when you're EQing something as well, you have to take into account sound effects as well.
Yeah.
And that they're not going to cause phase issues or problems with that, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's a tricky thing we, like, run into a lot. Usually, like, how we put music in the games is, like, we'll, like, sit down and actually, like, spot a whole level. Sometimes when we spot that level, like, there might be no ambience, you know? So, like, maybe, like, it feels like, oh, it's missing something. Maybe we should put some exploration music here. And then, you know, 6 months down the line, like, ambience comes in, and we're just like, where's all this music coming from? Like, let's just stop it. So I think there's a lot of, like, iteration and like, going back and forth and, like, you know, figuring out where's, like, the space for, like, everyone. And I feel like that's why, like, game mix, you know, it's such a huge part of the process. And, I mean, it's a shame that, like, it's just, like, you know, at the very end, because it makes sense, it needs to be at the very end, but it's just so close to shipping times. So, like, it gets really tricky.
Yeah. And I've heard this a lot about how everything comes together, as you said, towards the end of production. So I imagine there are a lot of times where you've spent maybe weeks, months on a particular edit, and then it gets tossed out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
All the time.
Does it crush you, or you're just like, at this point, you just let it go?
No, I mean, like, maybe it used to crush me, but I feel like in the end, like, we're just, like, I feel like as designers, we're just really trying to, like, make what's best for the game. So I feel like when we see it from that perspective, like, it makes it, like, very easy. Like, I know, like, some parts of God of War Ragnarok just came together in the mix. We literally, like, tossed everything. It wasn't just music. We were just, like, looking at this one part, it was the Norris trial, actually. And we were just like, this is just not working. I don't know what it is. It's just not happening. And we just kind of like all look back into like our disciplines. It's just like, oh, this thing in sound effects, like, let's change this. Oh, let's completely change the music here. Let's actually invert the mix and like make the music be louder, you know, the more you are in the trial instead of like, you know, doing the opposite, which is what you would usually do. So
yeah.
Anyways, sometimes just, you know, things come together at points like that.
How do you deal with ear fatigue? Because that's a real thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't always deal with it very well. that point of what I was describing, like, we just kind of had to, like, finish the project, so we didn't have, like, much time to think about that. But just in general, like, in my work, like, I listen to things actually very quietly. And you've probably heard this from like multiple people.
Yeah, yeah. And there can be multiple ways of how you tackle that problem.
Yeah.
Some composers have told me that they meditate. Some people go out and have something to eat and then come back. And yeah, there's various different methods that people use. But obviously, it's a thing where you can think that something's great, go away, come back, and then you think it sounds horrible.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's usually, like, when I do some work, like, I'm working on a big project, I'll just, like, kind of, like, just put everything out there, then, like, go, you know, make some coffee, make some tea, come back, and then just, like, kind of, like, listen to it with fresh ears. I mean, sometimes I'll even wait until the next day and see if it still makes sense. Like, a lot of times it doesn't, but it is kind of, like, more clear, like, what is it that needs to change? Versus like just trying to like hit the same problem over and over during the same day.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it?
It's a hard one
to tackle.
Yeah.
But does a game release and you can play it and enjoy it, or do you pick it apart because you're like, oh, I should have done this here. Why did I do that? Damn ear fatigue.
Yeah. I've actually not played any of the games I've worked on.
to be honest, that's quite common. There's a lot of game developers I've spoken to that just don't want to even touch their game at all after they're done with it, particularly the ones that are QAing it as well.
Because
I'm so done with this. Don't want to touch it for like 20 years.
Yeah, maybe. And warming up to the idea of perhaps playing Ghost of Tsushima now, you know, 4 years later. So, I don't know. Hopefully I get to it.
Yeah. So, how did everything change, or did it change, during COVID? Because obviously working from home became a thing. I'm not sure if PlayStation Studios Creative Arts even has a studio.
Yeah.
You guys are, like, hidden. So, I don't know what the story is there.
Yeah. So, we do have, like, some office spaces. But during COVID, it was just very weird. It was kind of like from one day to another. It's just like, you got to pack up and, you know, work from home. And we're just like, pack up what exactly? You know, what can we actually take home? What can we not? You know, it was a whole thing. But I think it really changed the dynamic because at that point, like, you know, if we were like talking to each other, we'll be talking like over Slack or something, just like messaging each other. And then we wanted to like actually like talk, like we'll like hop on like a phone call, like, you know, like I had a phone line to like, you know, call the people in San Mateo because we're in like in different cities as well. Call the people in San Diego. And then, you know, all of a sudden, like, I go home and I'm just like, I literally can't buy a webcam, you know? So I couldn't actually, like, talk to anyone. So that was the whole thing. But I think it just kind of, like, enabled a lot more collaboration between, like, the different, like, offices that we had. I was working out of LA at that time. So it was kind of like, you know, the LA office, like, working on this specific part of the game. And the San Mateo office, working this very specific part of the game. And I feel like it just, like, opened up more possibilities of, like, working together. It also, like, you know, meant, like, the line between, like, you know, home and work, I'm sure this happened to everyone, was kind of blurred. So, you know, I was just like, oh, it's 11 p.m., cool, I'm still working on this game. Wait, why am I working on this game? So I'm sure, you know, a lot of people ran into that. But, I mean, I think things have balanced out more for PlayStation specifically, pretty open about, like, hybrid work. I'm personally working fully remote, so that definitely wouldn't have happened, you know, before. But I don't know, it brought a lot of good and bad, but definitely a lot of like more open collaboration, I feel like now.
Because yeah.
Everybody somehow became more accessible when you could just send them a message versus being like, that's, you know, where the creative director is, like the office over there, like don't, you know, touch it, you know, don't go over there. So yeah.
Yeah. So you work 100% from home?
I do now, yeah.
Wow. So no more commuting?
No more commuting, yeah.
How long was your commute?
It was not that long, actually.
Okay, well, that's good.
it was just a 15-minute drive, but actually, like, some of my coworkers had, like, you know, an hour and a half drive, and I was just like, I don't know how you're doing this, you know, every day.
Yeah, I heard from a Naughty Dog dev, one of them, well, quite a number of them, actually, particularly in QA, commute 2.5 hours each way in LA.
Wow.
So that's 5 hours a day, people.
Yeah. That's insane, yeah. That's why I don't live in LA anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I suppose the other thing is, like, if you're not commuting, you can just go straight to your computer and do your thing, right? There's no mental fatigue, I suppose, from commuting to work and then having to worry about how you're going to get there without crashing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Do you find that you're in a better space mentally now to do the things that you need to do as a result?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think everybody works differently, though. Like, I think some people are better with, like, you know, work from home. Some people, like, really need that office space. Like, I feel like for me, I just kind of like my rituals of, like, you know, I like making, like, pour over coffee in the mornings, and, like, you know, some people might think it's, like, very tedious to, like, do the whole process, but,
yeah.
You know, I actually, like, find it, like, it's, like, a little, like, ritual that just, like, kind of wakes me up, and it's just, like, it's time to, like, go to work, and, like, you know, and then same, like, I just also have, like, an evening routine that's, you know, equally as helpful to be, like, okay, this is time now to, like, shut down.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite game that you've worked on or a favorite project?
Oh, that's tricky.
You're going to offend everybody else if you get the wrong.
Yes, absolutely. No, I mean, I'll have to say, like, definitely just God of War Ragnarok, just because of just the impact that it had in my career, and it's really awesome music. But I would say, in terms of, like, favorite music that I've worked with, I'd say Ghost of Tsushima actually has a really cool soundtrack.
Yeah,
yeah, very unique.
Is there something specific about it? Just the uniqueness?
Yeah, it's just, like, a very unique combo of, like, Japanese instruments and, like, orchestral that I know like some other people have done before, but it just, I think that you got, like, the blend really perfectly, where it isn't just, like it doesn't feel like it's, like, orchestra with, like, some soloist on top. Like, it feels like it's actually blended. So that's what I really like about it.
Yeah. So what's on the horizon for you now in terms of where you want to go with your career? Do you have an idea?
That's a big question, too.
without getting you into trouble with Sony and problems with NDAs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I definitely want to continue, like, leading, like, projects in the music design aspect. I feel like there's still a lot to be done with, like, music systems and, like, really, like, pushing the boundaries of, like, what a music system, like, can do. Like, I really would love to, like, continue to show, like, it's not about just, like, you know, putting that one loop in the background and, like, looping forever, though, like, that can be great. Like, I feel like there's so much that we can do, so I feel like I have a lot more to do with that right now. So I'm actually, like, working on Ghost of Yote, which was just announced. Hopefully you guys saw the trailer. Yes.
You see the trailer?
Yes.
You like it?
Yes.
Did you like it? That was a pretty lame response. Yeah.
So I think we're definitely going to keep pushing, like, you know, interactive systems with that. I'm pretty excited for people to check it out.
Yeah.
It's also, again, like, very weird combo of music. Not that I can talk about it too
much.
Yeah,
of course, of course.
Yes.
We don't want the Sony ninjas coming here. But how have the evolution of the systems that you work with changed over the years? How have they changed? Do they move progressively quickly in terms of how they evolve? Or is it a slow process?
Yeah, I feel like it's been, like, a little bit slow and kind of, like, sped up a little bit in the recent years. I feel like we had a lot of, like, language that we use a lot of, like, you know, intro, loop, end tag, right? Just, like, having an intro loop will, like, just score music for however long the player is there, and then an end tag that will, like, take us out of a loop. And I feel like that's how a lot of, like, games were scored, and, like, kind of, like, the terminology that we had to. But, I mean, it's also because of, like, the limitations of, like, hardware and, like, the things that we could actually do. So, like, you know, now, like, with the systems that we're building, we're, like, building, like, you know, three-layer, like, systems, like, where, like, every piece of music is divided into, like, three things that are responding interactively. So, like, that means, like, when two things are overlapping, it's actually, like, six. And, like, if we're playing, like, something on top of it, then like that's seven. And then we're talking about like, yeah, I know. And then we're talking about like quad files, which are like, you know, four channels. So actually, you know, seven times four, what is that? 28.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like, obviously you couldn't do that in the PS1, right?
Yeah.
So I think like, it's like a lot of like responding to like what things, how things have evolved and like what things can we do now that we couldn't do before.
So does that actually make it easier or does it make it more difficult? Because on one hand, you have more tools to use, but on the other, it creates so many more avenues in which to explore and use this stuff.
Yeah.
So is it harder or easier, in your opinion?
Yes. It's both. It's definitely both. Because, I mean, also, like, you see all the possibilities of what you can do, and you're just like, I got to go with the most complicated things. And then sometimes the most complicated thing is actually not the best thing. Sometimes you just need an intro loop and an end tag. And, you know, that's actually what really gets you, like, what you want. So I feel like it's also a challenge to take a step back and just, like, think of, like, what actually does the game need, not, like, what cool system do I want to do for that game.
Mm. A lot of game composers I've spoken to have writer's block. Do you have, I suppose, designer's block at times? Where you're just like, I got nothing. Nothing's coming here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it just goes back to like what you were saying about like taking a step back from things. I mean, some areas that we like go through, like, let me think, like the opening of Ghost of Tsushima, like when you're going like down the beach and then like you're fighting all these enemies and it's like, it's this very complicated moment of like, it's kind of horrific, but it's also like epic because you're in a battle, but it's like a sad battle. It's like very complicated like emotions. And we like threw like 10 cues at it. We would just like put it over it and just be like, nope. In fact, that was one of the last changes we did for that game. Like,
wow.
As it was coming out, we changed the music again. So I feel like, I don't know. I don't know if there's a good solution for that besides just like talking to people. Talking to the creative director is usually a great idea for direction. I know, weird concept. But yeah, I feel like that's usually what sorts out the situation. It's just getting some direction from above, from someone that actually has like the whole perspective.
Mm. Cool. Well, hey, I'm going to wrap up there for Q&A so people can ask their questions. But I'm going to make this a bit more exciting for you guys and to incentivize good questions. So we've actually got some prizes here. So if you've got a lame question, you might want to get rid of it, okay? Because we want good questions here because Sonia has flown all the way over from America. I don't know, how many hours was it?
It's probably like 28 hours or something.
28 hours.
Like with layovers.
So come on, you got to ask her a good question here. So my man somewhere has got a mic. Oh, no, my lady here. She's going to be handing the mic around. So if anyone's got any questions, ask them. And then Sonia and I will decide at the end who has the best question. And you will win a prize. So Sonia has brought over a Sony drink bottle. And it's got the iconic shapes, although you can't tell from the box, right? And I've brought some famous New Zealand chocolate from me because why not? And also, and my headset's coming off because of my big ears, my friends at Berry and Leaf have brought some coffee as well because we all know that people in Melbourne love their coffee. So, miss, are you able to give it to this guy, this fine gentleman here?
Yeah, let me see how I can answer this. yes, the studios do pay for us to work with them, but specifically for our music team, we actually don't work with any third-party studios, so we just kind of have a system where we are kind of designed to work with them, with the first-party studios. Probably as best as I can get. I'm
that's
sorry.
Very interesting.
That's vague for all the right reasons.
Yeah, so you also got studios in like Japan, like the Kasobi and like the Horizon, Guerrilla Studios. So how do you like do with the time zones like that? Is there like also a music thing in Europe, or do you also do that?
Yeah, so specifically a time zone, like we usually like adapt to like the team we're working with. So for example, when I was working for Death Stranding director Scott, like I actually like started my day later, you know, to have more overlap with them, because it is important to have that collaboration. It's not like we're just like, you know, doing the music is like, here you go, you know, take it, you know, can't change it. So we definitely need that overlap. So we do a lot of that. And then we also have a UK team as well. So there's like a little bit of like more time zones to be covered. So a lot of the Europe titles, for example, are covered by them.
Hi, Sonia. Thanks so much for the talk. I wanted to ask, so I've worked, I'm a game designer primarily, I'm also a teacher, and I've worked with a number of different kind of sound teams in the past. I've done it all myself, I've worked with some very closely, and others that have said don't work so closely with me. Can you provide any insight into what do you think best practice is in terms of how closely should the creatives on the design side, the game design side, talk to the sound team? Do you have any kind of insights on how not to step on your toes and kind of tell you how to do your job, but also I've got an idea? Like, where's that kind of that balance, do you think?
Yeah, sorry, I'm having a very hard time understanding. Is it like best practices for what specifically?
In terms of, so when you need to be kind of making sound for your for a product, I'm assuming that you're talking quite closely with a lot of the people in the design, the game design, narrative, story, theme, setting, to understand what music they're after.
Yeah.
To what degree do we say we want X versus we say you're the expert? Could you tell us what you think is good in this space?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's like a very big mix of like what happens, because like sometimes like the level designers or the gameplay designers like know what they want. They're just like, we want music to do this. And then sometimes they're just like, we have no idea, we just kind of want something good. So, you know, we just kind of have to like figure out what that is. But I mean, I feel like it's always just important to like talk to them, like regardless, even if they don't know exactly like what kind of music they want, they might know like, hey, we want this to like feel like super chaotic and intense. And we're just like, okay, we know how to like musically respond to that. So we do talk a lot about like non-musical terms and just focus more like on emotion. I feel like emotion, like how a player's supposed to feel is like a pretty like global thing. Like we can all kind of like agree on those terms. And then from there, the music. But I'd hope to think we're never just like, this is the music that sounds good. Like you guys should just do this. And like, we don't want to hear what you think. It's definitely not that case.
Hi. Have you ever worked on procedurally generated music? And do you have any thoughts on it or opinions on it?
Oh, yeah, it's a touchy subject for sure. I have not actually myself. And I can't really talk too much about it otherwise, but I haven't. And to the extent of my knowledge, my team hasn't either.
Hey, is there a game that's you've not worked on or not been a part of Sony that you've really enjoyed the music of?
Oh, yeah. I definitely enjoyed It Takes Two a lot. It's probably one of the few games I actually have played recently. And I really love how like the music adapted to all the different like gameplay styles that it had. But besides that, I actually didn't work on Horizon Forbidden West, but I actually love the music for that as well. And I think they built some pretty cool gameplay systems. They actually do have some like music design in-house. So, yeah.
Are you trying to be like, hey, can I work on the next Horizon?
Come yeah, on. Just like a nudge.
Just chuck it out there.
Hi there, Sonia. Thank you for coming over to Melbourne and to PAX Oz. I'll admit this talk is the first time I've heard the term of a music designer, as it were. Out of curiosity then, are you interacting with other music designers or similar jobs or outside of Sony per se, like other in-house developers for like, I'm just Nintendo as an example, or even like third-party music designers, and how do you talk shop with them, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I feel like that's something that I've experienced like recently, like other people just being like, hey, you know, I'm also a music designer, like working for this is like very small studio that, you know. So I think like we tend to be actually pretty open about how we work, because in the end, like what I do, like, you know, in terms of like editing, for example, like it's just rearranging, you know, stems, like the talking about like the technical aspects of like the skill of like doing this, like is not like, I feel like where the magic is. Like the magic is like really understanding that music and being able to transform it. So I don't know, in my experience, like I feel like people have been pretty open about it, and I have seen more like job postings like actually open up for like this kind of job. I feel like it's usually more integrated with composition. Like there's some expectation of a little bit more of composition knowledge. But yeah, definitely more of like a recent job opening up, but definitely more job postings on that. So if you're interested.
Hi. Oh,
hi.
Since a lot of games have...
Wait, where?
Oh,
great.
Sorry, I'm here. A lot of games have been having more accessibility options, like having mono, stereo, 5.1 surround. Do you have any part in that? And is there any things specifically you need to do to avoid mud and clutter?
Yeah, I usually don't have as big of a part of it. It's usually like more led by the sound team. But something we have done before and continue to do is what I was talking about, like quad files. So what we do to implement music is we actually use like the left, right, left, rear, and right, rear channels, because we actually don't want to get in that center channel where like the actual dialogue is. So that really also helps when we're talking about all this accessibility, like all the features that you're talking about, because we're already out of the way. So now with all this down mixing, we're even more out of the way. So we do like collaborate to like make sure, you know, we're like doing like good mixed levels to like stay out of the way of certain things. But for Ragnarok specifically, we actually like worked with the Santa Monica studio team to like write captions on like what was going on like in the music, you know, because they actually like write in like what's going on, you know, in the cinematic music. So, you know, we kind of like work together to like let them know when we were changing it to like make sure it wasn't just like, you know, this very dramatic music happened and then we actually like cut it or something. So it's definitely a little bit of a conversation with that.
Hi, you mentioned you studied film music as well, and I just wondered if there are any particular film soundtracks that really inspired you or that you kind of always think of when you're, you know, doing your work.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big soundtracks that actually got me into it was, like, Interstellar. I actually really loved it. Recent soundtrack, well, it's not even that recent anymore, but Tenet is probably actually one of my favorites, like, Ludwig Göransson, like, man, that guy just really knows how to write some music. But yeah.
Hi. I read an interview with the designers for Final Fantasy Rebirth where they talked about how they wanted the soundtrack to feel like it's coming from down above the player. Mm. Is that 3D audio really factoring into your job more in that way, similar to that?
Yeah, it's slowly evolving. I didn't have a part of that personally, but I know Spider-Man 2 did do some like specifically like cinematic moments where they were actually using the high channel. So I think it is kind of like an evolving thing, and I think we're going to see more of that. I think we're just trying to like find the right placement for it, because it is like a very like specific choice, right? To like have music coming from the high channel. So it's just like when it happens, like it needs to be impactful, it needs to be meaningful, and it has to be a reason for it too.
Hi. Given that when you were hired, it was stressed multiple times that it was not a composition job, have there been any elements of composition that you have either had to do or managed to sneak in? Like if you were decided that there was a musical cue missing that you just thought you'd add in, or is that just strictly a no-no?
Let's see.
Tread carefully.
There's been times where sometimes elements of, you know, certain elements have been missing, like in like what we're doing. It's never about like just straight up like composing like a whole cue. It's usually more about like, you know, we have this piece of music and we have this piece of music and we need this bridge here. So like we might do a little bit of magic there to kind of like, yeah, kind of like blend it in together. There's been some very rare specific cases where we've actually done a little bit more than that, but you might just need to like figure this out.
I'm curious what like digital audio workstation you're using and if the whole team is like unified in their choice of tool set or if it's kind of personal choice to what everyone wants to use.
Yeah, so we all work in Pro Tools, which is great for audio, not great for MIDI, but we don't usually deal with MIDI, so it's not a problem. And then we are transitioning a little bit into Reaper right now.
Hi, I was just wondering, apart from feeling really confident in the middleware and how to navigate it, do you have any tips for anyone who's aspiring to do music design or implementation in games?
Yeah, I would just say, and it's very ironic for me, but like just play a lot of games and just kind of like see what some other people are doing. Like I feel like I've like learned a lot from like what other people are doing with like different music systems. I mean, that's why I call out Forbidden West. Like I actually just like turn off like sound effects and dialogue and just like went in and just like see, like analyze like what they're doing with their systems, because it sounded like really smooth and natural. So I feel like just getting an understanding what like at the macro level like you can do and like what you can achieve, I think like makes it easier to talk about, you know, some music design terms as well.
Hi again. You work in AAA environment and often have, in those circumstances, I believe, enough money to kind of do the process correctly. Here in Australia, particularly in Melbourne, we have a lot of indie studios who try to do the best thing, but often don't have the, you know, great deal of budget available. I won't ask you to say when should we bring on sound people and people in, you know, the role that you have to kind of join a team. That'll be different with each project, but could you maybe talk about any instances that you've experienced in the past where you'd go, oh, I wish you'd brought me on before this was set or before this was established?
I feel like it's usually about some very specific like game mechanic that involves music pretty heavily. So like, for example, in Ghost of Tsushima, it was like, you could play a shakuhachi, right? For Iki Island, you could play a lot of like shakuhachi phrases. And I mean, funnily enough, we were there, right? But we actually weren't looking at that part of the game. Then when we like looked at that part of the game, the animations were done. There were actually, some of them were like a little bit too fast, and we were just like, well, really wish we had seen this, like, you know, before this was locked. So we had just had to get a little bit like, you know, creative in the solution there. But I feel like just like at any point where like music is used like as a certain like mechanic in the game to any degree, like I would definitely say then, because I feel like afterwards, like as long as you have like fresh like music and like you still have like, you know, a budget to have like more minutes, like everything else is kind of like fixable. Like you can like start over with a system and like come up with a system that responds to something that's there. It might not like feel as connected, but you know, you could still make it happen.
As a person with an audio background, I'm curious as to...
Sorry, can you raise your hand?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious as to what sort of skills you think are most valuable, technical skills, in what you do as a music designer.
In terms of technical skills, like, I would say, like, you know, a bare minimum, just, like, knowledge of, like, middleware. Like, we mainly use Wise and then some proprietary stuff. So, mainly, like, knowing Wise or just, like, knowing a middleware, like, you kind of, like, get an idea of how all of them, the rest of them work. You know, if you can do some implementation engine, especially with visual scripting, it's pretty handy, too. But I think, like, what's very specific to my job, like, even though those technical skills are very important, they all kind of relate to how musical can you make all of that tech stuff sound. So I think, like, that's maybe, like, the biggest, like, thing to, like, sort out. And I think, actually, that's why, like, the composition background that I had came, like, you know, was actually very handy to make that transition happen.
So since there's different ways of hearing music, like headphones, subwoofers, like surround sound, do you have to like do anything to make it be able to be like working along all those? Or is that, yeah, so is there any changes between the what you with how the music sounds, with how you listen to it and stuff like that?
Yeah. So we usually, well, at the office before, we usually had a specific set of, you know, speakers that were like super calibrated for office space. And it was more about like, you know, if you get it sounding good there, it usually like translated well to everything else. Now that I'm working from home, I'm actually like doing like a big mix between like speakers, headphones, and then some other tech that might or might not come out later that actually like helps emulate other mixing environments.
I'm going to allow four more questions. Great questions, though. You guys clearly want this Sony drink bottle.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm wondering about when the music is released as like a soundtrack for streaming. Are you involved in that process? And how far along does that start? Like, are you working on it before the game is finished, or...? Yeah.
So we do work on soundtracks. Actually, in Creative Arts Music, there's a whole team, Music Affairs, dedicated to making like the whole production of the soundtrack happen. From, you know, also collaborating with like artists to like, you know, we also release like vinyl soundtracks, for example. So like, you know, making the art for that and all of that and getting all of that process. We do collaborate a lot with like the composers to kind of do edits of what is going to actually go in the soundtrack, because, I mean, the soundtracks are usually, well, they're usually not the length that they're actually, like, the length of the cues that we actually got. So I feel like I see a lot of people sometimes being like, oh, you know, that one cue from, like, that one boss fight, it's not like it's in the game, it's just like, it's definitely not, because we edited it down, because we needed to for some reason. So, yeah, we do work a lot on that. Yeah.
Hi, I'm just down the phone. Hey. I just wanted to ask, do you play any instruments yourself? And I guess, does your musical background like have influence on how you like things to be designed, or your ears are attracted to a certain kind of sound, I guess? Yeah.
So I'm a guitar player, actually. That's how kind of how I got into music. I don't play guitar much anymore, but I still have them and still play them from time to time. I feel like just my whole like music background definitely helps me on the job, but I think it's just like more than just like the education part of it. It's just like actually consuming a lot of like media and seeing like what other people are doing, and just like I was saying about like you playing other games and listening to that, just kind of like seeing what ideas, you know, come from different people. And I would say like for some projects it is handy that I know how to play guitar, because then I can also communicate that to like a musician, which is like very, very specific. And funnily enough, like there's not that many guitar players in the department, so that's come in handy.
Hi. Hey. I was just wondering, as a woman in games, how have you found your experience as a woman in games? Like, have you had like a positive experience, or has it changed over the years from when you started to now?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I'm very, very, very lucky where I've actually had a very positive experience. The team that I've worked in, it's actually unsurprising, a lot of men, actually. And like in terms of like music design, like I think right now I'm the only music designer in the team. Maybe there's another one, I'm trying to remember. And at different stages, like there's just being a few. But I do know, like, you know, some other people in the industry, like, that's definitely not been their experience. So I do think it's a bit of a safer environment now than it was, you know, 5 years ago, even 10 years ago. So, yeah.
Final question. No pressure.
Hi. As music design and implementation has gotten more complex over the years, do you feel that the memorability and melodicism of music has declined? And what consideration goes into making something that is attention-grabbing and memorable for the player to kind of be like, this is a good soundtrack or something like that, with a sort of optics of it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like, especially like in film, I've definitely seen that trend of like going away from the melodies, which seems... I don't know, it's strange where, like, games, I feel like, have usually been embracing, like, the theme, the melody. I mean, when you hear God of War Ragnarok, you hear, like, those three notes, like, for Kratos themes. Like, everybody's just like, that's it. That's Kratos. And I feel like there's still a lot of that in games. And I'm very fortunate, like, the team that I work with, like, they are very, like, encouraging and trying to find what is that theme, what is that melodic thing that's going to grab us. It's not only about style and finding out what's the right mix of instruments, but for us, it's still about a theme and about eliciting an emotion through it. So, I don't know, I do hope that we can continue that trend. I think there is space for, like, the kind of focusing more on the motif and just the sound. It hasn't been the case, I think, for the kind of games that we're working on.
Cool. Great questions, people. Man, you've made our job really hard.
Yeah, that's a lot of questions.
So
thank
I'm
going
to hand it to you, Sonia, first to decide who should.
What?
Yeah. So you pick someone, and then I'll pick someone.
Oh,
no
my
pressure.
God.
Take your time.
All right. See a person back over there that asked a couple of questions. Actually, yep, that's the one. They're pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So you come get yours. I'm struggling to decide here. I actually really liked the last question, but then this guy who was had the cheeky question in terms of you putting in musical cues, I thought that was pretty funny.
It's actually pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You come get your prize first while I decide, because this is hard. You can pick one. Yeah.
Awesome.
You want the coffee? No? Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Okay. I'm going to do... Okay, well, I'm going to give the last one to the last question. He can, and if you want, you can, depending on what he picks, you can pick either chocolate or coffee. Then you can have the bronze prize.
The bronze prize.
So where's the last question guy? Yeah.
So quiet.
It is quiet. You could record this and then put it in a game.
I could, yeah.
Yeah,
it's actually like pretty nice. It's kind of warm.
Do you want the coffee or chocolate? give it to someone. Give it to someone as a present.
Like, I'll ask myself a question.
Okay. Well, go for it. Okay, so who is the? Sorry, it's pretty much pitch black here. I can't see who the. Okay, but who was the guy that asked the question regarding the final question? Who was that? Was you? Okay, here you go. Okay, all right. Well, you guys could take that, give it to someone. If you got a girlfriend, give it to them. Maybe, I don't know. But that is a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for coming out. Give one more round of applause for Sonia.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
So she will be here at the front of the stage if you want to ask her questions or take a selfie with her or fanboy or fangirl over her, whatever works. Anyway, I will be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. doing another panel with the lead designer of Portal 2, and he worked on Half-Life 2 as well, so come along to that. But otherwise, have a good night. Thanks to the audio and video people. I've done your job before, and it's a thankless job, and nobody thanks you or nobody pays attention to you unless you do something wrong. So kudos. And also want to thank Kitty. She may be here, she may be not. She helped organize this, and she's like a headless chicken. She's running around everywhere. Have no idea how she has the energy she does. But yeah, have a good night, people.
Yeah. Thank you.
See ya.